Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Oh, welcome, Chris. It's always amazing to have you, see you, but not feel you.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. Keep your hands yourself. Now, looking forward to today's episode, how to make money like a developer. It's something we know of, and we've spoken about previously. We've never done an episode focused on it, so it's good to have something fresh for us to go into.
And if you've seen one of our previous episodes with a valuer, that might very good to
link back to. We're actually going to flesh out a few of the points she said during that one. So the episode's going to be broken up into three parts. I'm going to talk about the sort of the inner west and eastern suburbs, what development you might look at to acquire property, look at to, you know, do something extensive or minor, whatever those renovations are, and what the sort of baseline is. And Kurt's going to talk about the North Shore area.
Yes, a couple of suburbs there.
And then at the end, we're going to talk about it. But if this is your first time, this is not all targeted for first time. If it's your first time, we're going to unveil what we believe is a first time developer, that sort of property and the sort of investment you should be looking at as well.
And sort of what to watch out for, and also
what not to do
and how to understand why the experienced developers are able to still be able to afford everything, really.
Yeah. So that's great. So go straight into it. So let's talk about if you're developing a property in the inner west to the eastern suburbs, let's ignore the sort of Vaucluse and so forth where you're building McMansions. But we're talking the properties that are selling anywhere between, you know, 1.5 to 5 mil. Right? One of the best pieces of advice when you're looking to do develop a property is, number one, look at what is selling in the area. Look at the properties that have had the renovations done, if there have been some in the area, or they've had extensions and so forth, and then want to gauge what they are selling for,
yep.
So work out what they're selling for. Then look at properties that haven't had their work done to it, that are on the market now, or even if that have sold recently, so you can gauge roughly what the investment is. It's a really good starting point to say, okay, in my area, and see what's selling a lot, see what the common thread is in terms of it. So most areas I'm going to talk about, you know, the most attractive configuration, which is talking about sort of the bedrooms and bathrooms and so forth, is 3 bedrooms, like, you know, 2 bathrooms and a car park is formulaically the most wanted, sought out, and the most common property to be sold in the area. So if that is the case, it depends where you're looking at, but if that is the case, you know, my advice would be looking at a property that is 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom, you know, that has the opportunity for you to add a lot of value there by adding another bedroom in and adding an additional bathroom in.
Yep.
Now, the wary points are, you know, let's say the completed properties are selling for, you know, 3 to 3.5 as a gauge point.
Yep. We'll just keep numbers simple, 3 million.
So 3 million, okay, so I'll keep it simple. The property that hasn't been done, so the 2 bedroom, 1 bathroom is selling for like currently selling for 1.8.
Okay, perfect. So 1.8 is what they're currently selling for.
And we aspirational think they're going to, current comparables?
3 million.
3 million. So how much room is that?
So Chris, that means you're going to make 1.2 million, right?
Yes, minus the stamp duty up front. So that's about 150 grand.
Okay,
yeah. And then you're going to have the real estate cost at the end. So let's call it, and the solicitor cost. So let's call it 200 grand automatically wiped off.
Okay, so now we're down to 1 million.
Yeah. So, and we're here, as we said, we're here to make money, not, you know, we're trying to work out how experts doing it. So if that's the case, you're really looking at absolute max you're going to do, which is still not going to make you much money. It's probably 800,000. In all likelihood, you're going to be spending between $400,000 to $500,000. How you would do that is looking at things or looking at properties that you don't have to do, hopefully, an extension on. So let's say they've got a decent enough footprint overall. Maybe it's got an upstairs area that needs to be extended, or it's got a rear area that can be extended slightly. But ideally, if it's sort of got the overall configuration that you can do it, you know, by converting, might have 2 lounge rooms as an example. You can convert one of those into a 3rd bedroom, add an additional bathroom in. Maybe it's not a whole additional bathroom. Maybe it's just another water closet, so a toilet. These things are what speaks to a lot of the people in the market who are looking to buy property.
Yeah, and the thing to be wary of, what Chris just mentioned, is speaking to architects, sometimes it's actually cheaper when people want to do extensive renovations to actually do a complete knockdown.
Yep.
Because by moving a lot of walls, all the scaffolding, all the things that have to go in place with moving walls and moving lots of rooms.
It blows at the cost more than anything else.
So that's where you need to be very careful. And that potential 800 to a million that you could make,
you see, it's been wiped out.
Can get whittled down.
Well, and another thing as well. Last thing I'm for a little bit over to you, you know, in the areas I'm talking about, four, it's not all the case, but a lot of four bedroom properties versus three bedrooms aren't selling for exponentially more. They might be selling for like 150, 200 grand more, but they're not selling for exponentially more. So if you look at that in your market and you're buying a three bedroom property, you want to convert to four, but the current sales of four bedrooms aren't exponentially higher, probably that's a good sign that that's either not a property to buy, or the investment in turning creating a fourth bedroom isn't the right way to go.
Well, and being wary of the market specifically about how competitive it is. So flipping over to the Lower North Shore now,
please.
I'll give two perfect examples. We've got Willoughby. Yes, there's Willoughby East, Willoughby North, but we're just going to call Willoughby as a whole.
Okay.
And there's also a suburb in Chatswood actually called Chatswood West.
Yep, not well.
Now, Willoughby, it has exploded. People are buying houses, knocking them down. And let's just say before the sort of explosion over the past year, a little bit more. Maybe could buy a house around the 3 to 4 million mark, land or even just the house.
Just an old house on a decent sized block.
But now people are doing 1.5 million builds.
Yep. So they're knocking down what's existing.
Yep. So brand new. Someone might have bought a land, 3 million, knocked it down, rebuilt, quality build, just say it was 2 mil. So that means they've, including all the cost, they've at least got to sell it for over 5 million.
Correct. To try easily.
Easily. Now, some of the houses have been going into the fives, some into the sixes, which is brilliant. But now, because it's been going on for so long, someone that has a complete knockdown of a house, their land is naturally worth now 4 million. No buts. So the developing chance there, you'd want to be wary, because the standard you need to now build still is ridiculously high.
So in simple terms, you might have been buying that probably 2 years ago for 3 to 3.5.
Something like
that. And you're now buying it for four.
Four.
But the sale price hasn't exponentially moved forward. It has moved forward a little bit, I imagine, but not exponentially.
And that four is, like, you're probably looking close to the 4.5 to 5 if there's a quality home. Someone's already done some really good renovations, concrete floor heating or floor heating.
Yep.
But the other suburb, which is now starting to get a bit of a tick on, is Chatswood West.
Yeah.
Where in Chatswood, the medium home price, let's just call somewhere between 3 to 4 million.
Yeah.
It varies greatly, but we'll call it that. However, in this Chatswood West pocket, you're probably still looking around just over 2 mil for a home.
Yeah.
But people have now started to come in. There's still plenty of homes that you could probably pick up for just over 2 mil.
Yeah.
And that's where someone might want to look in to get in there before the boom hits.
It's an interesting development, because I think even 2 years ago, most people in the area looking would go, right, I want to buy it to Willoughby, to Chatswood, and would throw up the suggestion, what about Chatswood West? And they'd go, oh, no, it's too far. It's over the wrong side of the road.
Yep.
That barrier is breaking down. Why? Scarcity of properties. You know, as you said, a lot of the development's been done, so the prices have gone up. I agree with you, and I think you're absolutely on the money. I think if you're in that market and you can pick something up for 2.2, 2.3, and it's a 500 square meter block and you can build. I mean, what's a typical configuration of the property, where that's Willoughby or Chatswood? Is there sort of the best configuration for sale?
You definitely minimum want a 422.
So four bedroom, two bathroom and two car park.
Minimum. Yep. And there at least needs to be at least one ensuite for the bathroom.
And the two car park is a garage. More often than not.
Yeah. So if you're doing a knockdown rebuild, you want... In the prime locations in Chatswood or Willoughby, you need to have two garage spots. Yeah.
So what you're saying here is a little secret sauce. I'm saying, if you're looking to get in, free advice, Chatswood West.
Look, honestly, do your research. But if
asterisk here, don't take asterisks here.
But Chatswood West at the moment, the actual suburb, some people just think the western side of the highway in Chatswood, but the Chatswood West pocket, I think, is an absolute gem spot at the moment. But I don't think it's going to last long.
Okay. Brilliant. Now let's strip this back. So if you're listening to this and you're a first time developer, some of this can be big on audacious. You're talking about buying 2.2, even $4 million. And, you know, in my side of things, I was talking about like extending and going up. getting into it, I guess there's an element of being risk. You're already risky getting into being a developer or looking at it.
Yep.
But there's an element of being risk adverse. So what sort of, what would be a risk profile? What would be the type of profile you think is best for the first time investor and why?
I'd be looking at trying to make a small amount of money rather than trying to make millions.
Okay, so get the experience.
Get the experience.
Get some money, get some experience.
Money, because if you go too big, too hard for your first, one, you could scare yourself off.
Yep.
Two, financially, you could dud yourself up.
Could ruin yourself.
Basically dud.
Because most, I guess the one that we haven't covered, most developers are doing it over and over again. And I'm sure if it's your second time or if it's your 10th time or 20th time, what do they have on hand that first-time developers typically don't?
They've got the regular trades who are trustworthy, they're reliable, and they're going to give better prices knowing that they're constantly getting work.
Yeah. The first-time developers don't have that. Yeah. So your ability to lock someone in, get them to stick to their quote, absolutely turn up on that, doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but the assurance is not there. So what type of property should they be, what sort of investment on the property and how much work should they be doing on the property?
You're going to be looking at units or apartments, yep. I believe.
Yep. Maybe a semi, but yeah.
Maybe a semi. And I've got a little rule of thumb as well, is paint, carpet and lights does wonders to a property.
Mm.
Now, that could be somewhere between 10 to 20,000.
Yeah.
Roughly. If anything you're going to do after that is not going to add any significant value to it, be careful not to then overcapitalize with moving walls or putting in an extra bathroom. If you don't think it's there.
Yeah. I talked about previously, one of the properties I had previously in Roselle myself, the bathroom had one light and the light was actually in the wall, so directly in front of me next to the mirror where I was doing my teeth every day. So we had an electrician come in, we moved that up. We had the light, so there was two switches, so one to shine down on us and one to shine up onto the light to flood the room, and that could be either, you know, one or both on. And then we put a nice big deep mirror medicine cabinet there. Yep. We had literally buyers coming through afterwards commenting how great that looked overall, who had come and seen the property 3 years earlier and were awestruck at the difference we'd done in that bathroom. You know, it was not, I'm talking less than $1,000. Yep. That lights, I guess what I'm harping on here is the impact of doing lights, you know, particularly over in Chatswood Way, there's quite often flesh and lights are still prominent. New lighting throughout has such, can't underestimate how big that is.
Lights, carpet, paints, or wooden flooring, depends what the market demands.
Yep.
But really think about it from that point forward. Is anything else going to add significant value?
Yep.
And if it's cheap enough to do it, just say you need to open up the kitchen, open up a wall, even if it's just a decent cutout in the wall, so there's just that extra. Is that going to make you a lot more money? And I think it's just being wary. We don't want new developers, even the mums and dads, to be scared off or make sort of some critical or rash mistakes. Yeah,
big audacious things. So we're going to knock down this wall, and they start knocking down the wall, and then they realise, Jesus, this is bearing, or this has now got a, we didn't realise electrical cables went through here, so we've got to change this. So what we're saying there is very clearly, do the basics,
yep.
So paint, carpet, and lights.
No,
do them well.
I was going to say also, know the time frame, because if you've already got a principal place of residence, you've bought another place as an investment, if you sell it within, I believe it's the first 12 months, you're going to pay a higher capital gains tax, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Seek your own tax advice.
Correct.
Then after 12 months.
Very good. Anything else from today's episode?
I think we're going to round it off there, because we can go definitely into a lot deeper. And if you would like to hear a deeper version or would also like to have an experienced developer come on, please let us know in the comments, emails, reach out to us. But just trying to skim the surface and provide some decent value and just a bit of an understanding to start with.
Yeah, nice. All right, so on to a bit of fun for the end of the episode now. So it's on me this week.
On you, thank you.
So Urban Dictionary, right? Property-focused edition. Okay, so look at you. You start to blush, getting worried there, but what I'll be skippity or what I'm going to be talking about, but no.
Anyone can see the hand is...
So three different words or phrases, and I want to see if you know what they mean.
Okay.
Splitter, in the property sense, what is a splitter? For a property, if a property is a splitter...
If it's You can't decide on the property.
No, no. It's a Queensland, very focused Queensland. If you're listening to this in Queensland, you'll know, be like, how can these two not know?
A splitter, is it?
I'm going to buy that property because it's a splitter.
Oh, it's an absolute bargain.
No, no.
An amazing property.
I'm going to cut you off. No, it means you can split the property. So literally means you can buy the property and put two lots or three lots on the same block.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Now, you might know the next one though. Scoop. This one's a scoop.
A bargain.
Here we go. Back on song now. So you might be able to just scoop up this beauty.
Scoop up this ripper of a prop.
And last one, killer pad. What does a killer pad remember? Well, I said I purchased a killer pad.
Like a killer holiday house?
Oh, no, no. Pad.
Pad, like a suite, like an apartment, top floor apartment.
Correct, there you go, yeah. Killer pad means unit apartment. Yeah. That is suite.
Yeah, that's all right.
There you go, not bad.
I'll take 1.5. Marks out of 3.
Do you want to go? I've got one more.
Yeah, go one more. So, stick around, please. Stick around, audience.
Amuse us. Fixer.
Oh, it's an absolute shit dog box.
Well, that lands us beautifully where we need to be. So thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, share, and...
comment, follow, something like that. If you have a friend that is thinking about getting into developing...
Or yourself.
Or yourself, send them to this episode.
Oh, yeah, don't send this to yourself.
Get them to reach out.
Or reach out yourself. Beautiful. Thanks for dropping by.